Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next exciting edition of Nine Pitches with myself, Andrew, and Ross. Ross, how are you?
Fine, Jack. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. Are we all excited for AEW Revolution?
Yeah.
I am more excited for the comments of this video because Andy here has ignored every single comment from the last video. He's doubled down because he's a heel. Yeah. I tell you all the time he's a dick. Look at him.
Well, to be fair, I was thinking about this when I wrote it. I was like, oh, everybody's going to hate me, so I'm going to...
Is that just pitch one?
Let's not.
Oh, sorry.
Go there. Sorry. I'm going to cut the first bit down quite a bit. Don't worry.
To peek behind the curtain, I'll explain the format first. If you've never seen it before, we've all brought three pitches to the table. We'll go around in a circle. Ross, Andrew, me, Ross, Andrew, me, Ross, Andrew, me. And we'll be left with nine lovely pitches. And remember the golden rule, though. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
So just to peek behind the curtain, we don't tell each other our pitches beforehand, so the reactions are organic. But we do say which matches or which bits of the show our pitches involve, just so that we don't all pick exactly the same things to do, a bit of variety for the video. But we've all this time, quite excitingly, all gone for the ladder match, I believe, mine's third. Are yours, is that third?
Mine's third as well.
Is yours third?
It could be third.
Should we do a ladder round at the end?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
a Wiki Wango ladder round.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that?
I don't know. Ross, do you want to kick us off with your first
I'll
pitch?
Go straight away to MJF versus CM Punk. Obviously, last week we saw MJF say professional wrestling meant everything to him. He brought up his learning difficulties, ADD, all that stuff. Him playing football, the scene in the hallway, the quarters, picking up the tears, his hero CM Punk on the Friday, Punk abandoning him, and all of us professional wrestling fans, all of that. A fantastic origin story / babyface promo from MJF there, in my opinion. The little is it true, is it real from CM Punk, I thought took things to a different level. I thought it was fantastic. So there is the scene that is set, everybody. We're sat here, obviously, on Wednesday before Dynamite is taken to the air. So my pitch starts on tonight's episode of Dynamite. So if you're watching this after Wednesday, sorry, but you were late.
Oh, yeah. Things might have happened that we accidentally pitch or... Yes. Yeah.
So we're here on Wednesday afternoon. So tonight on Dynamite, I want to see a segment where CM Punk goes to MJF's parents' house to once again confirm that what he heard last week was real.
Okay.
We're laughing at.
It's just a bit stalkery, isn't it?
No, it's fine. Mr. and Mrs. They're on social media, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. F.
She's always tweeting.
Not too far-fetched, is it?
No.
This is a serious pitch, this.
Oh, right, sorry.
Right. MJF's parents get the photo albums out. There's pictures of MJF as a young footballer. There's pictures of him dressed in CM Punk merch. They go the whole nine yards to confirm that everything MJF said last week was absolutely 100% true, which I think it actually was.
Yeah.
Many people have confirmed on the old social medias. There's our Maxwell with Jimmy, the captain of the football team, she says, while pointing at one picture in the photo album. They used to be such good pals. Then it all went sour between them just as they hit puberty. He lives along the road down there if you want to speak to him, says Mrs. Friedman. Now, remember that bit. Speak to Jimmy down the road. Remember that bit. Anyway, it's crucial for the end of the pitch. Everything MJF said last week has been confirmed to be true. We see another segment where this is on tonight's Dynamite still, where MJF's mom rings MJF. But Punk's in the room, obviously, and she puts CM Punk on the phone. MJF, in this guise of being a babyface with these issues that spawned this arsehole that we know today, is understandably irate. He kicks off because CM Punk's round at his mom and dad's house. Punk's like, relax, pal, don't you worry. He explains why he's at the house and says that maybe he's the only one who now completely understands MJF, having spoken to Mr. and Mrs. Friedman. He's got MJF wrong, and Punk wants to help him, so he offers to cancel the match. at Revolution. MJF is still being a proper babyface here when he says something on the lines of, Punk, you were a hero. I've gone down your route here.
Yeah.
Punk, you were a hero to me. And this, I need this match and I need to beat you to banish the memories of January 2014. You left us, man. I needed you. That's what he says verbatim, right? With that much emphasis as well. Even though he's it's a dirty dog collar match thingy, you'll get my best and my best alone. The pinnacle will not be at ringside. I need to beat you, CM Punk. I need to prove I'm the better man. Blah, 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 blah. He's still working us here, is MJF, making us think he's a proper wholesome babyface man. Punk agrees and says his respect for MJF has grown immensely. The show goes off the air tonight with CM Punk walking away from MJF's house. This is obviously, this is three segments scattered in tonight's Dynamite. He's walking down their massive porch with a wry smile upon his face. He looks off to the left and then it cuts. A smash cut. Is that what it's called, Richard,
Yeah.
He's down the street and he's ringing the doorbell of the house to the left. The house belonging to Jimmy, the captain of the football team.
Who's Jimmy? Oh.
Sunday rolls around. You see how long this is?
Yeah,
Sunday
this is
rolls
good.
Around. MJF keeps his word and it's just him out there all alone. He enters the match first. Mr. and Mrs. Friedman are at ringside because obviously this is their little Bonnie lad taking on his childhood hero, CM Punk, the guy who they presumably stood in the queue with to meet all those years ago. Punk enters and he signals to the entrance ramp. Come here, he says. Come hither. And it's only Jimmy. To play some mind games, he's brought out Jimmy, the captain of the football team, who we know is the captain of the football team because he's wearing a football jersey with Jimmy written on the back. And there's a picture in his hand of MJF with like a pen mustache on, maybe a Hitler mustache, or like, you know what I mean? You know, the duels you did at school.
Oh, like glasses. Oh,
he bullied him, remember?
Yeah, he bullied him.
So just to prove it's Jimmy who bullied MJF at school, whatever school it was, that's what he does to the picture. Mr. and Mrs. Freeman are shocked. MJF is on the brink of tears. Punk's all like, remember him? And he sits Jimmy down at ringside. Now, Punk, right now, looks like a complete dick, but you can see why he's done it, because it's MJF, and you just can't trust that guy, can you? You cannot trust him as far as you could throw him, which isn't very far, because he's a massive man. They have the match, and MJF still keeps to his word all the way through. It's just him out there giving it his best against his old-time hero, all alone with no pinnacle out there to help them. One spot in the match sees the pair brawling on the outside. They go near Jimmy and Punk says to him, go on, take one more shot, remind him of the little bitch that he is from the school corridor with the quarters and all that stuff. Jimmy stands up. He pauses. He takes a deep breath and he spears CM Punk to the floor. Full on pounces that sucker. He KOs that MFA. I've written all this down verbatim. He rolls Punk back into the ring and MJF eventually picks up the win after doing a couple of moves of his own. The scoreboard now reads MJF 2 wins in singles matches. CM Punk no wins in singles matches. MJF and Jimmy lock eyes. They both smile. They hug and embrace. It's a swerve, bro. Mr. and Mrs. Free and hop into the ring and say, ha ha ha, CM Punk, we fooled you. You fell for it. Why would you trust us, you dick brain? We're the Freedmans. You should never have gone to little Jimmy's house. Him and Maxwell are actually best friends. The captain of the football team was little Timmy, and little Timmy lives over the road from little Jimmy. You were a dick to trust our son. You were a dick. And that's how the match ends. So in this speech, MJF, you see that little bit of
spit? It's all going on because I just found this on the floor as well. I don't know what
karate
it is.
Karate fight.
That's Tom and Atkins, that.
That's good.
That's from their classic Raw review. I know the content we do. So MJF comes out of this scenario looking like a massive dick with massive amounts of heel heat because we sort of fell for it, didn't we? I was falling for it last week and I think we'd fall for it a bit more if this happens. It was so convincing. It was all real apart from that one little seed that was sown by his parents. Look at that house down there. That's where Jimmy lives. And Punky bit, didn't he? And out of this, of course, Punk can be enraged and have that fire lit under his arse that he needs, in my opinion. That could either see him go away as more of a succulent baby face when he comes back eventually after such a big and shocking loss, or maybe even a heel. I would like to see heel CM Punk because that's when he's at his best. There's the pitch.
That was... Now, I think there is definitely going to be a swerve either tonight or at the match itself in regards to MJF's promo that he cut last week. This is a very creative way of doing that. And,
cheers, Andy.
I do like the idea. I think it's quite grand. I know wrestling can be grand in the scheme of things, but this like feels as though it's going outside of the box a little bit more than usual. But that's what I like about it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So is it a yes from you?
Yeah, I think.
I'm not sure which way to go because at first, Well, first I got Louis Theroux vibes when it was like, when, just at the very start when Pung was going around the house and they were showing him things. Oh, so this is your son?
Hello.
And then it turned into like sort of Hollyoaks-y.
Aye.
Sorry if that's an insult, but no, is that no, good? No,
well, I don't watch Hollyoaks.
I don't either, but...
It's just Coronation Street for me.
Oh, fair
oh really? Yeah, yeah. I used to love Hollyoaks when I was younger.
Did you?
Yeah.
I never really watched Hollyoaks.
Really?
Or Emmerdale.
I don't know. Emmerdale was dead good. Emmerdale was the best, but Hollyoaks, I don't know. It's got that teen drama in it, doesn't it? When you're a young person, and a young
the,
child.
And the boobs, eh?
And the... No!
so I that's what it was known for, just the
I think
the
it
lady,
might be.
The ladies.
They do them like After Dark episodes, don't they? Where they're in clubs doing all sorts of stuff.
I hope they're not doing that, whatever that was.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know whether... Because, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm leaning towards a no. Because
I
think the plan's a bit contrived. Because the parents' plan was to just mention Jimmy and then trust Punk to...
Because MJF has lured Punk in. And they've added to MJF's story, therefore lured Punk in some more.
I'm going to give it a yes. Because I like I think the ends justify the means. I like the Punk potentially becoming a heel. And I like MJF winning and then presumably moving on to a title feud. So I'm going to give it a yes.
And I was thinking as well, little Jimmy could be portrayed by Rob Gronkowski.
Okay.
Nah, not
all right, okay. When you said a pounce, I thought it was going to be Monty Brown.
Well, yeah, that's what the because I was listening to that Jeff Jarrett episode about Monty Brown recently. Fantastic.
Was he saying that he could have been like...
Yeah, just a shame how much they buggered him up in the ECW.
Did Jarrett admit that he should have put him over?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Cause... I put those podcasts on when I'm going to bed, so I heard the first 10 minutes.
And then gone.
Andrew.
Yeah?
Can we have your first pitch, please?
Of course you can. So this one is surrounding the main event, Adam Cole versus Adam Page. But we're going to start at the three-way tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Now, for drama's sake, I think let's just say that the Young Bucks win tonight and go on to advance into that match. Mm-hmm. So we've got Red Dragon versus the Bucks versus Jurassic Express. And during a backstage segment at Revolution, we see the tension and the distrust between the Bucks and Red Dragon because obviously last week, Cool Kyle dumped Matt out the ring.
Cool Kyle.
Cool Kyle.
Okay.
It's not Cool
it's
Kyle.
It's Cool Kyle,
cool
everybody.
Cool Kyle is dead.
He is dead.
We
saw that. So we've seen some tension and whatnot. So backstage, we see them kind of like sort of expressing and exchanging some naughty words to each other. And Adam Cole's in the middle of both of the teams. But he attempts to calm the situation down. He's trying to focus on his title match tonight. And that's what the boys should be doing as well. They should be focusing on their championship match for the tag team titles. Tonight, it's all about this collective group right here, says Cole. And no matter who wins, a little friendly competition never hurt anybody. As he said beforehand, he said this before.
Yeah.
As long as we've got one another's back where it counts. So in the match itself, though, that doesn't seem to be the case. Granted, the two teams, they start to work together. But then we get a little bit where, you know, we see them pushing each other and whatnot and like, oh, what are you doing? You're getting involved in this. Red Dragon kind of being a little bit more heelish than the Bucks at this point. But then this leads to Jurassic Express getting a win, a roll-up.
Okay,
a win,
right,
like a surprise
yeah.
one
yeah,
when
yeah,
the two
yeah.
teams are tussling. So then we get to the AEW World title match. And towards the end, it looks like Cole's done. It looks like he's about to get absolutely annihilated with a buckshot. Fish and O'Reilly, they storm into the ring and cause a distraction, but this also leads to the Bucks coming out as well, still frustrated at what transpired in the tag match. Cole at this point, he's smiling though, because, you know, he thinks, oh, all my boys have come to help me. I'm very excited about this.
What a himbo he is.
I know, right? Yeah. But instead, obviously, the Bucks and Red Dragon, they get into it. Cole just looks on distraught. As only Adam Cole can do best, you know, when he does his 2.999 kick-out faces. Oh, my goodness. His eyes widen and everything. It's beautiful.
I know the face you mean.
Yeah. Like in the Gargano and Adam Cole.
His
match.
Eyebrows look funny when
he scoots back on his arse.
Yeah, like that. Cole's looking on and he's seeing this and he turns around and then that gives enough time for Hangman to hit a buckshot lariat for the 1-2-3. Red Dragon then see what's transpired. They roll into the ring and start beating on Hangman, only for the Bucks to follow in to continue beating on Kyle and Bobby. But then Cole gets between the two teams, he breaks them up and starts like just berating them until we hear... I hear a battle cry.
Oh my goodness. Gracious me.
that just like bellows throughout the arena. Kenny Omega has returned to AEW. He gets into the ring, he takes a mic and just begins laying in the words just onto Adam Cole. He's ruined the dynamics of the group, favored his new friends over his dearest ones. The reason Cole even made it to this position in the first place is because Omega handed in the keys. He trusted Cole, but even then, he failed to get the job done. Kenny gives Cole an ultimatum as to where his loyalty lies. He doesn't want an immediate decision. He just wants Cole to think about it. Adam is like seemingly just disheartened by this. He just shakes his head in acknowledgement. He understands, but as Kenny and the Bucks turn around, Cole and Red Dragon just attack them from behind. Fish and O'Reilly take out the Bucks, leaving Cole in the ring to hit just a litany of super kicks on Omega, even getting Red Dragon involved in like a mocking three-way BTE trigger. Whoa, naughty, naughty, before ordering someone to pass Cole a chair. And then Cole places Kenny's neck in the chair, but before he can commence with anything, Hangman appears on one side of the apron, just absolutely fuming. Then, mirroring that, the Bucks recoup themselves, and they're standing on the mirroring side of the ring. And then after a brief stare down, the Bucks and Red Dragon just wail on one another as Hangman tries to hit another Buck shot, only for Cole to roll out the ring and make his way up the ramp. But in the ring, the Bucks and Paige dispatch Red Dragon, leaving them lying motionless in the ring as Paige looks on at his former friend. And eventually, Adam Page reaches out his hand to help his former best friend, Kenny Omega, to his feet. Whoa. To a hellacious pop.
Yeah.
However, just as we see the four friends reuniting in the ring, atop the ramp stands a smiling Jay White, the Good Brothers, and Chris Bay.
Whoa.
Bullet Club stare down the Elite with Adam Cole and Red Dragon caught in the middle of this whole thing.
Whoa.
And that's how Revolution ends.
That was Hollyoaks.
Yeah, that was, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah,
that's blockbuster.
I liked your passion.
Yeah.
I liked your enthusiasm. But I am sick to death of all these storylines where we have to we have to care. We pretend we care about who the Young Bucks are friends with. I'm sick to death of them. Year ago it was, oh, will they go with Kenny and Don? Will they not? This year it's this bollocks. I'm sick of it, Andrew. So it's a no to your pitch.
Okay.
Nothing to do with your pitch. Yeah. Just because I'm sick of the Young Bucks and their friendships being the center of these two heelish dick storylines all the time. Why should we care who the heels are friends with?
Yeah.
Dickheads they are.
I guess,
you're
not, though.
You're
so
lovely.
Oh, well, that's very kind.
Thanks for doing predictions.
Yeah, then it's a different matter. Yeah.
Well, Ross's argument there nearly got me to give it a no.
Oh.
But I'm going to still give it a yes, because I think finally we've got all the eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
And we can have the big Bullet Club Civil War storyline that we've wanted for a long time now. And I think that we got there in a nice way. I like Hangman and Kenny being on the same page again.
Yeah.
I think that's quite good.
Yes.
I like them as a pairing. And I think that babyface Kenny would be refreshing and would give him some new matchups to have and stuff upon his return. So I'm going to give it a yes, because as long as this is the last one until Tama Tonga and Tangaloa come
that's
back.
That's what I was thinking.
Were you going to write them in?
I was like, oh, how can I get them in there as well? But I don't know. Somewhere down the line.
Keep me up at night wondering if the Young Bucks could possibly be friends with Tama Tonga and Tangaloa.
How could they coexist?
Man. I hope they do. I hope the Young Bucks have all the friends.
So we're going back. For mine, we're going back to CM Punk and MJF.
Yep.
So I've put, after MJF's promo last week, Punk is very uncomfortable as he comes out for the dog collar match. MJF is intense. He's really ready to go and take on his hero, but he offers a handshake at the start and Punk really cautiously accepts it. And it's just a legit handshake and the match continues on. I've said the first few minutes are weird, not what you'd expect from a dog collar match, because Punk is clearly holding back, but gradually MJF brings it out of him. Maybe he whips him with like the chain connecting the dog collars or something like that, and Punk gets more and more aggressive, and eventually they're having like what you'd expect, like a brutal bloody dog collar match. Punk towards the end hits the go to sleep, and MJF does the famous John Cena fall out the ring, and Punk's like, no. And but because they're connected by the neck, MJF's like big boss man. He's like hanging from the, and Punk's like, oh no. And he gets out the ring and relieves the pressure on MJF's neck. He's like, okay, well, this is a bit far. MJF is on his knees in front of Punk saying, oh, thank you very much. And he like knee walks over and like hugs him, and Punk's like, what? We're in the middle of this match. What are you doing? Then he realizes it's not a hug, it's a trap, and he's holding him in place, and then bang, there's a huge chair shot from a masked man out of the crowd. Maybe not to the head, but just like, it's a big blow, right? It's a big it's a big shot with this chair or foreign object of some sort. Punk is out cold. MJF turns to the man and laughs, and he takes off his mask. and it's called Cabana. Oh my God. Oh. Why have you laughed at that? Right, I'll move on. MJF tries to like shake Cole Cabana's hand and be like, yeah, we did it. We screwed him. Cole doesn't care. He's just staring directly at like CM Punk on the floor. And MJF finally gets his attention and shakes his hand. Clearly, they've made some sort of deal, but Cole doesn't really care. This was all about getting revenge on Punk. Cole leaves. MJF drags Punk onto the apron, hits the Heat Seeker. 1-2-3. MJF beats Punk again. And MJF goes on to have a title program with Adam Page. And Punk goes on to feud with Colt Cabana.
Oh.
Now, I don't think this will actually ever happen.
What? The father and son, though, Colt Cabana and MJF?
Apparently so, yeah. But we're ignoring silly indie storylines.
Okay, fair enough. fair enough.
MJF was just using Colt to help him out.
Mm.
And Colt, as I've said there, Colt doesn't really care about MJF. He wants to hit. Oh,
my God.
Oh.
It's a mess.
But no, it's not.
It's a yes.
Mine's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Little Jimmy.
Do you think?
There's no real-life ramifications in mine. There's millions of dollars at play in yours. It's a mess, but it's a yes from me.
Because
it's a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a yes because it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a yes from me because I just feel like part of all of us wants something to happen between Punk and
Colt
Cabana. No, me neither. And that's the thing. So this is like the next best thing. Like we get to dream about it, don't we?
No, you shouldn't. Shouldn't fantasy boot. You should just get what you're given and like it.
That's what Road Dogg says, and all the others.
And Triple H. Probably someone from AEW as well. QT Marshall.
Yeah.
He's a dick. I don't know if he's a dick.
We've all had yeses so far.
We have.
Ross.
Oh, no, I got a no, though.
Well, yeah, but we've all...
But we've all had a yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a yes.
I just don't care
who the Young Bucks are friends with, Andy.
That's fair enough.
It's what I want to see.
It's what you want to see. It's what you want to see.
Glad we're clear on that. Finally. I'm now going to Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker, Dumadur. And it's a simple pitch, and it's that Thunder Rosa needs to win clean, no turn from Britt Baker.
Yeah.
No nonsense, it's a banger of a professional wrestling match. Thunder Rosa wins clean and then cuts some badass promo to make Britt Baker respect her and all that sort of stuff. I think it's crucial for the women's division as a whole, because if not Thunder Rosa, then who is going to be Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and how much longer is this already turning stale title reign going to go on for? Yes, I've gone there. I think it's turning stale. Obviously, the answer is Jamie Hayter, but when she eventually turns on Britt, they could maybe do the title match at Double or Nothing or something, but then is Jamie going to have enough steam put behind her to get the win there so people will accept it? I think Thunder Rosa is the only person who isn't involved in sort of the TBS title picture to get a win and not have it backfire, because obviously Britt Baker is still so popular. What else is there to say? Getting a bit stale. Not enough wrestling, too many promos from Britt Baker from week to week. She's proved she's way better when she's cheating and being a bastard while trying to get the title from the babyface champion, which I don't know if we'll have the rematch straight away, but you know, down the line, who knows?
Yeah.
I just think, have a barn burner of a match and then Thunder Rosa wins clean, because I'm worried about who it is if it's not Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a simple pitch.
Absolutely nailed it. I think you nailed it. I agree that I think it's getting a little bit stale now as well. As much as I like Britt Baker, I'm just not feeling it at the moment. Like, she's had a good 10-month reign with the belt. Like, I think it's definitely time for it to be passed on to someone. And I think Thunder Rosa has that just ferocity and something about her at the moment. Like you said, if it's not now that the trigger gets pulled on Thunder Rosa, then when's it going to be?
She's done.
Yeah.
In terms of the title pictures, she's gone.
Yeah.
It's just a yes for me as well. There's no frills there, but there's no frills needed.
No.
In fact, it's better without frills.
Yeah. Meat and potatoes.
Mm.
Can't go wrong with that. Meat and tatties. Eh?
Yeah.
A bit of gravy.
No, just the dry meat and dry potato.
Whoa. Oh, you've got to have a bit of gravy.
Whoa, you got to spice
it. Well done steak.
I'll have some well done mushrooms.
And a raw potato. That's all this matters.
Just a raw potato. I like it. Right then, are we ready for number two?
Yes.
It's a short one.
It's a rest of them are short. Right? Yeah, rest honest, of them are
lads,
short.
I'm worried I'm getting sweat patches what, on my bloody
No, you're
shirt.
All right.
I'm scared.
You're okay.
Let's have a look.
Nah. I'm not
you're
doing
okay.
It.
It's quite a dark shirt anyway.
It's like. I'm going to just
say. No, it's fine.
I should have just not mentioned it. And then now the comments are going to be like,
oh,
at 3206, if you look, you can see Jack's sweat patches.
See them.
Just get them out now. Just own it.
No.
You could be like, oh, I went for a wee, right? I went to wash my hands.
The monitor we look at. Yeah. The problem is the monitor we look at is actually darker than, so I can't. I don't know how accurate that is.
I think the one that Rich is looking at is more accurate.
Richard will give a yes or a no.
So there are some.
No,
that's
fine. It's all good.
That's right, made then. Me feel more insecure, Richard's response.
Don't
worry.
With this.
You never said anything.
But so there are, yeah, there are riots, great, yeah.
This pitch is going to make you sweat, Jack. Oh. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Really nice transition there, that was good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're going to the Moxley and Danielson match for this one. I think it's got to result in something happening at the end with Moxley being like, yes, I will join you, Daniel Bryan, in your quest to kill everybody.
Bryan Danielson.
I always get confused. I don't think it can be a one and done, that's it, done. I want something juicy from this matchup at the end, I'll tell you. So it's going to be a physical match. I think we all know that. When Moxley says he doesn't stand side by side with someone until he bleeds with him, he means it. So there's blood dripping from both guys.
Dripping
there's
like gravy.
Like gravy.
Yeah.
Like that thick, nice gravy. Their spent gas bruise from their encounter. Maybe Moxley goes for like a paradigm shift, but Danielson reverses it into some form of like that cattle mutilation submission thing for the pass out victory. Both down on the mat after the exchange, the crowd is going mental at this point, not only because of how good the match was and the anticipation in regards to Moxley's answer too, but those dastardly devils 2.0 naughty naughty boys rush to the ring to take advantage of the beaten veterans before Moxley can make a decision. And then out comes Daniel Garcia, oh no, here to take advantage after what's transpired on Dynamite last week. He gets into the ring, orders 2.0 to set Bryan up for a devastating maneuver, whatever that could be from Daniel Garcia. He's got nice big boots.
You don't know his moves.
Submission maneuvers. And I can't remember what's his finisher.
I don't really know.
I don't really know.
Tickles people, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just pins him down, tickles him.
That's all he does, pins him down. Yeah, so he's about to devastatingly tickle Bryan Danielson, but instead he clocks Jeff Parker and Matt Lee, even locking one of them in some form of submission to really lay in the fact. Like, he does that stretching surfboard thing that's pretty cool.
He's got so many moves.
Let's say he does that then, right? So to really lay in the fact that this wrestling powerhouse has broken away from the group of 2.0, Moxley and Bryan finally get involved too when they find the bearing. So Garcia, with his newfound ferocity in his eyes, squares up to both Mox and Danielson, mic in hand, looking as though he's about to say something, but instead he hoofs the mic into Moxley's chest, leaving John to make his decision as he makes his way back up the ramp. So Moxley finally accepts Danielson's offer, but then points towards Garcia on the ramp and says, if we're going to build this dynasty of violence, I want him, signaling that Garcia will be the first person under the tutelage of the veterans. However, off screen, we hear a voice. Gentlemen, I'm afraid I'll need to converse with my client first before we make any form of agreement. But do know that you'll be hearing from us both very, very soon. And out walks Garcia's new manager, William Regal.
Oh!
Hang on
you
now.
You filthy slut.
Dirty boy.
I thought you were going to go with Dan Andrade or Matt Hardy or something there, but
that
no, he's gone good.
For some reason, yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
That will get you sweaty.
That will get you sweaty, I'm telling you.
It's a yes straight away from me. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
I know we talk about...
Rubbing my thighs.
I know, and I'll get into this in my next pitch as well. I know we talk about bringing people in into AEW when it's already stacked, but I'm thinking of Regal as predominantly a manager in AEW
For sure. Yes.
As opposed to a wrestler.
As opposed to a wrestler.
He could also do commentary if needed. Yeah, he's just fantastic.
He's good. And I think he'd be like a perfect fit for this just group of violent people.
I like it as well, because if you're going to have Daniel Garcia and someone like him with 2.0, you go all the way with the 2.0 being his father, literally. Yeah. But they don't really. They just sort of tantalize it, don't they? They don't go all the way.
Yeah, I don't really know what exactly they're doing for Daniel Garcia. Yeah, it's pretty naff. So this is a way to get around that.
I'm sure it's great on Being the Elite or whatever, but
every now and then.
I watch Dynamite and Rampage.
Yeah.
That's two yeses on me.
Yeah, thank you.
My second pitch is Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston.
Mm.
I've said Eddie enters first. Remember, he didn't want the goofy new Jericho. He wanted the old Jericho. So when he's in the ring, the countdown clock hits.
Ooh.
You're already on board.
I am.
Get ready to be disappointed.
Yes.
When it hits zero, here comes the old Jericho. He's doing the pose. He's, you know, he's like, come on. He's got the sparkly jacket and all that. And he gets the mic and he says, welcome to AEW is Jericho. He cuts a promo. And because this is just lazy writing. And just tears Eddie Kingston apart. I don't know what he says.
It's fine.
There's echoes of his 1999 WWF debut. Mm. I've said really insulting, petulant, disrespectful Jericho. And then I've given an example of what he says. He's rubbish. Look at him. I'm really good. Which was really David Brent. He's rubbish. Look at him. Mr. Toad. And then he says, that's Jericho tears him apart. And then I've said, everyone's expecting Eddie to respond, but he just drops the mic and he's like, okay, let's go. I'm Eddie Kingston. Jericho's being the showman in this match. He's doing all his stuff, the dancing feet and everything. He's not doing, crucially, his like getting the ringside camera and holding up his middle finger to it and all that sort of stuff. He's trying to take it seriously, but Eddie wins. It's not a squash, but he's clearly the better man. He batters him. He eventually wins, and Jericho is left bloodied and beaten. Eddie goes to leave, but Santana and Ortiz, who are at ringside, they pull him back. And they think, no, like, he's tried his best. They drag Jericho to his feet, and they get Kingston to offer him respect and congratulations. And Jericho looks at him and just spits in his face. And Eddie goes to attack, obviously, but then Hager gets in and cuts him off. And then Eddie, Santana, Ortiz, and Hager, they're all brawling all around the ring and stuff. And Jericho's just been stood in the ring, gutted. Like, he can't believe it. He's realized, oh, maybe I'm past this now. Maybe this is too much. Eventually, Eddie Kingston gets dragged to the back. Jericho's still alone in the ring. The fans are probably not that sympathetic. They're probably laughing at him and chanting and all that. But some might be applauding. And Jericho just walks away. But he goes out the side. This like where FTR drive their car.
Oh.
Yeah. And everyone's like, ooh, is he gone forever? Eventually, it leads to him down the line joining up with, right, this is where it goes off the rails a bit, with the Hardy Boys and Christian and maybe Big Show involved in a non-wrestling role as like the Attitude Era lads.
Oh!
The main event mafia.
It's basically a main event mafia storyline. They run riot for a little while over the show, like getting involved in interfering in matches and trashing like Gorilla and stuff like that. Mm. But eventually, they have to be stopped in a big, epic elimination tag match by the Four Pillars: Darby, Sammy, Ricky, and even MJF. And obviously they don't get along, but they do pull out the win. And after that, Jericho, I've said, can have a happy retirement match with Luther and ride off into the sunset.
Best friends.
Well, he's his best
fighting
part,
together.
Isn't he?
Yeah. It's nice that. Yeah.
It's a yes from me.
Really? I thought this was my worst one, but thank you.
Strong pitch.
Oh, cheers.
Strong pitch.
I agree, it's a strong pitch. Wow. I kind of like the idea of the Attitude Era boys all
really?
Getting together. Yeah, I don't know why.
I think it would get held as online.
It probably would. But, yeah. Imagine if it'd be like, oh, it's an inside job. They've all come together to take this massive company down from the inside.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It just tantalizes
they
me.
They call themselves Vince's lads.
Yeah.
No, they don't do that. But yeah, cheers. No, I'm surprised, but thank you. Mm. Ross.
Oh, bollocks, it's the Wiki Wango ladder round.
It's the ladder round.
Cheers. All the best here. Right, Claudio Castagnoli debuts to pluck the brass ring that retires the brass ring as a concept. I'll repeat that last bit because Andrew shouted.
Sorry.
And he retires the brass ring as a concept.
Oh, okay. In the, that being the trophy.
That being the thing you plugged down because it's a shot at WWE that didn't land and we should get rid of it. ASA to the P. They need to get rid of the ring for me because, well, and who better to retire it than the fella who wasn't really given the chance to get it by Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon, of course, said back in 2014 he wasn't connecting with the fans and that's why he hasn't grabbed the brass ring so far. That was back in 2014. And I guess he never allowed him to sort of rectify that, did he really?
No.
No, not at all.
He had that one main event match with Roman where he really did connect with the fans and then they did nothing.
And forgot about it. And WrestleMania as well, everyone was really happy for Cesaro. Yeah. But then it didn't.
Elimination Chamber too, I think.
Yeah, there for him too.
You could even, when he won that Battle Royal at WrestleMania, when he slammed Big Show over the...
Everyone went wild. And when he got the beach ball, everyone went wild.
He really does connect with the fans.
Is it corny, this idea? Yes, it is. Is it tacky? Yes, it is. But after Vince McMahon's podcast years ago, and they've never really given him it, because... I should have read this before I sat down here today. Never truly going with him, because... What I'm saying is, they might as well go balls deep with a shot at WWE, instead of these petty, like, oh, we'll watch the TV at a weird angle or something like that. But I think this pitch needs to be completed with working out what happens with everyone else in the ladder match, because it's all well and good bringing in Cesaro for the big pop. It worked for Scorpion Sky, didn't it? Because I tweeted this out last week, and this is what everyone was saying. Oh, it worked well for Scorpion Sky winning that brass ring, didn't it? There's only been one winner, aren't there?
Yeah.
One winner for the Face of the Revolution?
Who won the first one? Was that it? Was it Scorpion Sky?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Well, there's more chances.
But we need to work out where, of course, the other people in the field are. Keith Lee is where sat here right now with one TBD spot remaining on Wednesday. It might get announced tonight on Dynamite. Who knows? It looks like Keith Lee will be the one to win. So, in my mind, he should be the last person standing in Cesaro's way. In with the running to get sort of the brass ring down. But he's seen off by somebody who is now aligned with Claudio Castagnoli. Is it Chris Hero? No, it's not. Oh. Is it Zeb Coulter? No, it's not. Is it Jake Hager? No, it's not. Is it Aksana? No, it's not. Now, initially, I wrote down Jim Ross, who shoots Keith Lee with a tranquilizer gun. Because if a tranquilizer gun can get the Big Show down for the count, Kurt Angle back in the day, it can certainly get down Keith Lee. But then, I swear to God, on my Spotify, Better the Devil You Know by Steps came on, and I had an epiphany, as Vince McMahon said way back when with the wildcard rule. Better the Devil You Know, Claudio Castagnoli, bit of a screwy finish. Want to keep Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli a babyface. Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
Better the Devil You Know. They had a big feud way back in the day. Yeah. Obviously, Eddie, who could be coming out of the Jericho match having lost in this pitch and being sort of disgruntled and pissed off and whatnot and just wanting to go, yeah, F the world, man, and all that New York Yonkers bollocks. he could come out there and just see off Keith Lee, help Cesaro come up, and I think that would get a positive reaction.
I think so, by the crowd
inside whatever arena they're at. And then we could have Eddie sort of starting to assemble a faction to stop the sports entertainment in AEW and have Cesaro just be the sort of centerpiece and the main cyborg wrestler man in the vein of Arnold Schwarzenegger in that film that I've forgotten.
Terminator.
That's the one.
I was thinking like a more obscure one, like Kindergarten Cop. Wait, was that? No, that was Arnold as well. That was Hulk Hogan.
No, that was Hulk Hogan,
the babysitter one, or was that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Mr. Nanny.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that song? I don't want to go to school. I used to love that song anyway. Let's carry on.
I just want to break the rule.
I think it was custom made for that song. Shout out to the dog that got pushed in the lake by that man during that film. You seen that?
What film
Hogan's,
is that?
Hogan's going down the road on his motorcycle and just in the back of shot. It's not part of the film. It's just a guy chucking a dog in the lake.
What?
What? It's not part of the film?
No.
Oh.
It's just in there. It could be real, it could be not, who knows. Anyway, Wardlow with Sean Spears in brackets is crucial. Obviously distracted by Shears. By Shears?
Shears?
Brutus the Barber Beefcake comes out now. By Spears, who obviously was continuing the slow burn of Wardlow, leaving the Pinnacle and MJF and Sean Spears behind. Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks, Orange Cassidy, they're just there, so who really cares? I don't think any of those three are going to win.
No.
Harsh to say. Harsh but fair there, as you say on Pro Evolution Soccer back in the day. Or we could forget about all of that and have Jeff Hardy debut because ladder match.
Yeah, maybe.
But Claudio getting the brass ring, retiring that concept, and then Eddie Kingston helping them get there to Keith Lee looking strong and to set off on a new stable. Because we've seen Eddie Kingston in the managerial role before with like his best friend Penta and the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny and all that malarkey. So he can do it.
He can't. Does he still wrestle though?
Oh, of course he can.
Oh, that's all right.
Of course he can.
Of course he can.
Yeah.
It's convoluted and tacky, but you know, that's what we're here for.
It kind of clashes with what my next pitch is going to be.
No. You can want more than one thing, Andrew.
And this is what I was going to say. I like that you said that Claudio retires the brass ring concept. I think that's the thing that's making me go, yes, on this one. Because my pitch is very much sort of the what's the word? The opposite of...
The antithesis.
I was going to say antithesis, but I didn't know if it was the right word because I didn't.
Two sides of the same coin.
That's it. Mm. But yeah, no.
The yin to my yang!
It gets a yes from me.
Cheers, Andy.
You're well.
It gets a yes from me as well. I was just on the topic. I was listening just last night to High Spot's YouTube channel has put out a full Eddie Kingston shoot interview for free from about 2018, but it's Ethan Page doing the interview. Mm. And they're just... like taking the mickey out of each other a lot. But at one point he mentions Chris Hero and Eddie Kingston goes like, oh, I hate that guy. And he just Eddie Kingston hates Chris Hero.
Wow.
Is that real? Or like?
Yeah, but he says that he knows that he said if he was doing like a tryout or something and he could pick anyone to have a match with and know that match would be good, he'd pick Chris Hero. He says they used to live together and they fell out and now they hate each other.
Oh.
Because I know a lot of people think he legitimately hates Claudio Castagnoli, but that's just him.
Oh, no, I think that's
silly
just,
buggers on Twitter. Isn't it?
It could be by association because it's Cesaro's friendship with Chris Hero. Ooh.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. But no, he was like, I hate that guy. But then they were trying to push it, like, what caused this and stuff? And he was like, well, we don't hate each other. And it's in the past, but we don't really get on. We don't talk. I was like, wow, that's... Oof.
Wonder what he did.
He said that he was like slagging him off behind his back or something.
He didn't explain
fully what it was, but yeah.
I was like, oh, he took last bit of bread or something.
Yeah, he finished
for
the
breakfast.
Milk,
and he was like, yeah. Oh, he never buys bread.
You never pick up toilet roll. I mean, it's you. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. So yeah, kind of like the opposite to Ross's pitch, like, and it's a very, very basic one as well. But I hope that either on Dynamite or Rampage, we see someone qualify for the Face of the Revolution ladder match rather than have a surprise entrant. And granted, you know, surprises are always amazing. Don't get me
surprises
wrong about that.
Always amazing.
Aren't they? Yeah, they are. Surprises are always amazing. But with Cesaro now free to turn up anywhere he so desires. And given there's talks about Shane Swerve Strickland as well joining AEW too, I think you risk taking the wind out of someone's sails if the right person doesn't win, for example. So, and for example, Keith Lee. So Keith Lee is 100% in this match at the time of recording as well. He won his spot to be in the ladder match by beating Isaiah Cassidy. And that's been it for Keith on TV so far. We haven't seen him since. Of course, I think... they're really saving the sort of Keith comeback for this big moment at Revolution. Like, I think this is really going to be the moment that solidifies him in AEW. So I can understand, like, why he might have been not utilized to the fullest on TV at the moment. But you can't forget about Keith, as the famous song goes.
What song?
The song that you and Tom sang.
Oh.
Do you remember?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. And that can be an easy thing to happen if you bring in Cesaro or Shane Strickland into the match, I think. All three of those names have come out of WWE, with the majority of the wrestling fan base like collectively agreeing, I think, that all three men deserve way more than they ever got when they were in the company. And as I suppose this is really my point, is that if you do give the win an opportunity to one of those wrestlers, that might once again take something away from the other two. And whilst it's got to be ridiculously tempting for Tony Khan to look at the brass ring and see Cesaro's just left WWE and basically just call it right there, he's going to win it. But the roster is like so stacked now that if you're bringing people in, you have to capitalize on that and not repeat the mistakes other promotions have made before. So, yeah, let the final person, I guess, be someone like Buddy Matthews, Pac, or Danhausen or someone. Someone already on the roster. Perhaps someone who's already got a storyline going on too, so they don't get shoved to the wayside after the match as well. But I think you've got to give the win to Keith Lee. Because Keith is love, Keith is life, as I wrote at the end there.
Tell you what, Andrew.
And that's my pitch.
If there's one thing I love, it's... sensible conservative booking.
It's very sensible.
Sometimes the best booking decisions are the ones you don't make.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, I really liked it. It was more of like a lecture than a pitch, but I really enjoyed it.
Less is more.
It's a yes from me.
Thank you.
That's a yes from me as well. I'd like to see Keith win.
Yeah, me too. Although, like, I get it as well, because, like, Claudio turning up in that match would be phenomenal as well. But then it just runs the risk of someone losing out on something. And that's not what we want to see when we've just had people being brought into the company. Like, we want to actually see them get utilized. And I guess if one spot gets taken up by someone else, then something's got to be cut somewhere, doesn't it?
I see what you mean now about yours and Ross's being philosophically opposed.
Yeah.
But mine is very much like Ross. It's on the Ross side of things.
Okay.
But here we go. So, face of the Revolution ladder match, assuming I've said that we don't know tonight at the time of recording who the last person is in the match. I've said it's not Jeff Hardy because he's in the other thing I did with the Attitude Era stable. It's not Cesaro because I really agreed with what Eric Bischoff said. And I don't normally agree with Eric Bischoff too much, but I think he was right when he was like, Cesaro might benefit from going to Japan or like Mexico and just weigh in a bit. And if they still want him, it's a bit of a risk. But like, because if he comes in now, it's such a stacked field and everyone's all hot and it might be hard. It might be like a Miro situation at the start.
Yeah.
So I think it's not Cesaro. It's actually mini Cesaro, a.k.a. John Silver.
Ooh.
But he's not joking around. He's very serious. But also in this match, he's running wild. And we've seen him running wild. Like, when he chains things together like Cesaro does, I think he'd be excellent. And because he's smaller, it would be a big underdog story when he wins the match because there's a lot of big boys in this match as well. I've said he actually wins, but when he holds up the brass ring, he's almost emotionless. He's not how you'd expect Johnny Hungy to be. He's like, and the camera zooms in and we see that his eyes are totally white. What's going on?
Whoa.
Now he's either he can do that Undertaker thing, or if he can't, like just before he climbs the ladder, he like quickly whips in some contact lenses or something. There we go. So then we get to the following Dynamite, or like a few weeks down the line. He has that match against Sammy, because remember, the winner gets a TNT title shot. Again, he beats Sammy in this new sort of more emotionless, brutal style. And then there's an emotionless celebration with the belt. And everyone's thinking, what is going on with John? The week after that, the Dark Order do what they do, like they've done with Adam Cole and stuff. They have a big party for him in the ring. They're like, oh, we need to celebrate his title win. Come on, John, get in the ring and stuff. He's still not talking. He's not joining in. They try and do a few bits that we might have seen on like Being the Elite. He's just not joining in. He's not even Anna Jay tries to make him laugh and he doesn't do that whole Anna. Whoa, he doesn't do it. He doesn't bite. He's weird. Something's gone wrong with him. And they say, John, what's the matter? Just say something. And he opens his mouth and black goo just spills out onto the ring.
It's the fiend.
No.
Is that actually? I've done it again.
No way.
Black goo spills out. They're all like, whoa. He opens his mouth again and says, he's here. The lights go out. When they come back up, it's the fiend. Yeah.
Whoa.
You never saw it coming.
Pissed on his chips again.
Or Wyndham Rotunda or whatever we want to call him. He gets in the ring and the rest of the Dark Order are terrified and he beckons John Silver closer and Silver bows before him. And as he turns, as in the fiend turns towards the camera and his voice comes over the speakers and says, behold the revolution. And then the end of the show, the lights go out. Yeah. You don't need to say yes because you feel bad about spoiling.
No, I would like to see Wyndham Rotunda in AEW, and fulfilling that. Well, I don't know if he's fully rubber stamped as the leader of the Dark Order in that pitch, but he's certainly taken Johnny Hunger.
I think you'd have to maybe wrench control from, but I think ultimately he would take control of the Dark Order, yeah.
I initially thought you said when Johnny had his white eyes, he was just going to take a bite out of the ring since it looked like a Cheerio or something.
Oh, because he's very hungry,
yeah,
right?
He's hungry, Johnny Hungry. Yeah.
That's good.
Hungry by name, hungry by nature.
Isn't it funny how much funnier the word hungry gets just by taking the R out?
Hungry.
Yeah, hungry's hungry. Really, yeah, it's good.
What other words get funny by taking the R out?
Andrew.
Angie.
Andu.
Yeah, it does.
That's hilarious. so funny.
Wrestling,
yeah, that's Wrestling.
Turns out, like, the letter R is like ruins everything. It's the least funny word.
It's a yes from me. No, I mean, you had me at Johnny winning the TNT title, to be fair, because I love John Silver so much. Yeah. I think he's incredible, and it's such a crime that he gets so underutilized in AEW. It really is, because he's comedic, but he's also got like his wrestling chops are phenomenal.
He's great.
So yes, absolutely. I like the way that you bring Wyndham Rotunda in there too. Yeah. It's a yeah from me.
He's run out of things to say.
I have.
Right, well, it's been honestly, I think we've all really done well this time.
Yeah.
I think it's been a really good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's just something, call me a shill, TK is paying my bills or whatever, but there's always a little bit more excitement, I think, when we come into the AEW ones. I know, tell me. Say whatever you want to say, but...
Well, there'll be a lot of coverage of AEW Revolution coming up in the following few days. Ross, you're pretty good at this. Did you know what's coming up? Or do you
want... I've got a rough idea. Wednesday, pitches. That's now. You're watching it now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. Thursday, predictions. Myself and Little Dingle here with his chair and whatnot. But don't worry, I've got a plan.
Got a plan?
Me. You're not hitting me with that chair again.
We'll see.
You think I'm stupid?
We'll see.
I'm not stupid. Come Tuesday, stupid, but not me. Friday, Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, where no doubt we'll do a big discussion at the end of what the best match at Revolution will be. Saturday, there's a video going out which I regret pitching, but we're doing it nonetheless. Myself, Jack and Tom will sit around this table right here and have an objective discussion as to who is actually better, AEW or WWE. We've got several categories to go through. There's no gimmicks, there's no bollocks. We're just three friends sat around the table, just speak about what we like and what we don't like, objectively, about two wrestling promotions. And then Sunday night, it'll be Adam Pacitti doing his live stream right here on the YouTube channel, as per usual. On the Monday morning, just after the pay-per-view, Jack will be back with what happened at. Then there'll be the live review show at 1 p.m. GMT with, is it you this time?
Myself and Tom again. Yep.
Yourself and Tom. And then later in the afternoon on the Monday, it'll be WTF Moments. Then Tuesday, edited down reactions with myself and Andy on the couch.
Oh,
look at that. You're a professional, aren't you?
That was really good.
You've done this
before. 5 years, 6 years. Finally got there.
I got a comment on my last video, my latest video, saying, Jack's really come out of his shell. I've been doing this since 2016. But thank you very much for watching, everybody. This has been Nine Pitches with myself, Andrew and Ross. And we hope you've enjoyed them. Why not leave your pitches in that comment section down below and join us for all the content that Ross mentioned as well. Look after yourselves out there and we'll see you very soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.